I'm not sure if you're going to be able to answer this question, but I am going to ask because it has been on the news. I mean, I'm not new at this, and your husband has been asked and addressed. Is he seriously considering running for office in 2016?
You know,
have you guys talked about that?
Well, the interesting thing is he was asked also to run in 2012. People were reaching out to him, and we really did kind of have a system when we analyzed it before, and we really did come to the conclusion this is not something we're being called to. I mean, some people are talking about us, and we really felt led to run for governor.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think, you know, when we reach a point where we want to really analyze it, we'll go through the same process. You know, we believe in servant leadership and being a servant leader. So I think if we felt like this is something we're being called to and this is where God is leading us to go, it's something we'll take a more serious look at. Right now, especially with the session getting ready to start, it really isn't something we discuss at the Pence household. I mean, we read it in the paper a lot. And that's always a compliment to Indiana, honestly. I mean,
sure.
But it isn't something that right now we're looking at. You know, Mike says, you know, maybe after the session, let's sit down, let's see if there's still a buzz and look at it. But right now, we're doing everything to run for governor again.
Right, right. If you're just joining us, I'm Glee Rennick-May, and I'm talking with Indiana's First Lady, Karen Pence. And Karen, I want to move on. I want to talk about, I know that you've had 25 years of teaching experience, and often, you know, you visit, you know, schools. And what I'm interested in is, what is the message that you are bringing to these kids here in Indiana?
That's a great question. You know, when you become First Lady, you'd start wondering, what should I do? Because there's no job description, and all of the other First Ladies made it very clear, do whatever you have a passion for. Be yourself in this office. Don't try to be somebody that you're not. And you're right. Being a teacher for 25 years, the first thing I wanted to do was start visiting schools. And so we started with schools that asked us to come visit, and we're almost through that list. Sometimes we will add a school because we'll say, you know, we're heading through this town, going to another one. Can we stop by and see what you all are doing? But I really feel that my role is to be an encourager. And I know firsthand how hard teachers work. And they're probably one of the hardest group of workers, you know, in the state. And they take a lot on with raising and teaching and training our children of the next generation. And so when I go into a school, I just, first of all, want to tell them, I appreciate you. I love what you're doing. And then when I talk to the kids, usually they want to know things about what's it like to be the First Lady. And so we talk a lot about what's the governor's role, what's the First Lady's role. But usually when we go into a school, I have my staff ask them, what do you have at your school that you want to brag about? Because we try and get press when we go to a school. We usually have the local legislators join us. And we want to come in and make a splash and say, this school does a great job at X, or this school does a great job at Y. And, you know, every school has issues, but every school also has something they're proud of. And I just see it as my role to shine a spotlight on what they're doing well.
Mm-hmm. And the same role as this show, Spotlight, because we like to bring in the positive, because there is so much negative, and we get inundated by that in the news. And we like to the bright and the light, and shine the light on all the good things that are going on. And actually, this is one of my questions, too, being Indiana's First Lady. You know, what are the responsibilities, Karen? What are your responsibilities that go along with the title?
Well, you know, it's interesting because every First Lady does it their own way. One thing that I do take advantage of is the organizations, the Republican Governors Association and the National Governors Association, where we meet with other spouses. And so I can meet with other First Ladies and First Gentlemen, and we actually do presentations, and that's where I got the idea for the Beehive. Several other governor's residences have a beehive, and we talked about governor's gardens. And so that's one thing that I take advantage of, because, you know, you're in this role for such a short time. It's 4 years, and you can't spend all of your time reinventing the wheel. So we share a lot of ideas. That's where I got the idea to, in October, do the phone drive for domestic violence. That was another first lady who told me mm-hmm. about that. That's also where I got the idea. We do write letters from the first lady's office to all deployed families, letting them know, here are the numbers and the people you can contact if you need help while your loved one is deployed. So a lot of the initiatives that I have are ones that I just got from other first ladies.
Interesting. I know that you have a wonderful staff, and I know I'm working, coordinating, and getting you set up for this interview. That's amazing. I'm fascinated by how you do this and get to all the places and do all the things that you do every day. I think that's wonderful. What a great job. I love the job. Okay. Again, if you are just joining us, you're listening to Spotlight Indianapolis, and I'm Glee Rennick-May, and I'm talking with Indiana's First Lady, Karen Pence. Karen, I want to go on as we're getting, you know, later in our broadcast here. I want to definitely talk about the charitable foundation mm-hmm. that you started. And tell us about this story. Tell us about the foundation and what does this benefit?
Well, I'm glad you asked, because that was one of the issues when I came, you know, into this position. So many groups just started inundating me with requests. And I found that I was saying no. And I was saying no to things like, you know, childhood obesity and infant mortality and preschool dental health. And what kind of person says no to all of those issues? And it really started to bother me. And a friend suggested that I have a First Lady's Lunch in Indiana. And we modeled this after the First Lady's Lunch in Washington, D.C. The Spouse Club of the Congressional Spouses does one fundraiser a year, and it's called the First Lady's Luncheon. And every First Lady since we started has come and you know, speaks, and we always have a surprise entertainer and handmade gift bags. And so I started thinking about this, and I thought, you know what? I could marry these two things. I could have one spectacular lunch in April every year and raise money, and then I could have all of these groups that approach me apply for a grant, and we could support them and bring some press to what they're doing without me having to be the chairman or the spokesman. And be able to be involved on a smaller scale and kind of leverage the position and the money that we raise at the luncheon. So our luncheon is in April.
And I think you're benefiting the, what is it, something, a hunger group here.
Yes. Well, last,
Indiana,
yes.
Feed Indiana Hungry.
Yes.
Will be the benefactor of this luncheon coming
right.
up in 2015.
So we kind of pick a theme. And last year we benefited Riley Hospital's Art Therapy Initiative. They got a big check at the luncheon. We had a surprise entertainer. It was Sandy Patty. We had amazing gift bags. We partnered with Vera Bradley. But this year, we've chosen our theme is Hoosier Homegrown, and we're focusing on Hoosier farmers, Hoosier food, and we thought, what better charity than Feeding Indiana's Hungry? This is a group that benefits either food pantries or food banks in all 92 counties. Yeah,
this is fantastic. I didn't know about this.
Well,
this organization,
they're amazing.
I'm glad to know.
They are amazing.
Them. I'm familiar with Gainers.
Yes. Yeah. And there are a lot of different groups all the way around the state, but they kind of partner with most of them and come alongside. And so one of the things we want to do when we have this luncheon is to make sure it includes all of the counties. And so we do invite legislator spouses, mayor spouses, Supreme Court spouses, and they're allowed to purchase inexpensive tickets. Everyone else there is a sponsor of the luncheon, and that's how we're able to raise so much money. And mm-hmm. so four times during the year, my board meets, and we review any grant applications, and we award grants of $500 or $1,000. And then we'll have an event at the residence. We give them a big, oversized check. We take a picture, give them a press release. And we're trying to hit all the counties this way as well.
I also know that you've been named the official Bicentennial Ambassador by the Indiana Bicentennial Commission. So very quickly, as we're getting to the end of our broadcast, what is your main role in celebrating Indiana's 200th birthday? That's in 2016, for heaven's sakes.
It is.
Time flies, doesn't
yes,
it?
Yes, I know. And Mitch Daniels appointed the commission, and I'm actually not an official member of the commission, but I am the ambassador. And so we're reaching the point now where we're getting out there and speaking a lot on the bicentennial. And a lot of counties are taking events that they already have in place, and they're kind of tweaking them to be their bicentennial event. We do have a county chairman in almost all 92 counties now. We have one big event we're going to do, the Torch Relay, which was just announced last week, where the torch will start in Corydon, and it will go through all 92 counties and end up at the State House, and that'll be in October. And it's just, I think, an opportunity for us to bring attention to all the wonderful things that are going on in Indiana.
Okay. We have just a couple of minutes left in our broadcast. And I know that, you know, your family's holidays and, you know, you have traditions and you're very excited. And I have a feeling that some of those have carried on from your childhood. So we don't really need to go on to those right now. But, you know, we have, I think we have a couple of minutes. If you would like to share with our listeners, I think you have a message for our listeners regarding holidays. So I'm going to give you that time here at the end of the show, okay?
Well, I just know it's a time of year, I know, when families try to get together, or, you know, in these days we Skype or we, you know, email, trying getting together. We're blessed this year that we will have all of our kids with us on Christmas. But I know it's a time, you know, last night we had a lot of members of the Jewish community over to the residence, and we lit the first light of Hanukkah on the menorah. And I know that there are a lot of traditions families have all over the state. And so I just wish all of the Hoosiers around the whole state just a blessed, wonderful, warm holiday season.
Mm-hmm. And tell me, too, in terms of, you know, your traditions and, you know, for your kids and your family, do you carry that on as far as like when you did, like you do the stocking thing in the morning, or what do you do just very quickly?
Yeah, well, we actually do the whole thing in the morning.
Oh, you do?
We do.
So you do it, you celebrate Christmas Eve.
We do.
Okay.
So Christmas Eve, we still head to my stepdad's home and we have a wonderful celebration with him, Italian meal. But then Christmas morning, we still, with our kids being in their 20s, make them sit on the stairs and wait, and they all come down together and we videotape it. Halfway through our Christmas opening, we always have, you know, little cinnamon buns. I put those in the oven, and now our kids drink coffee.
I can smell that. Yeah. Oh, that's how you have cinnamon buns
cinnamon
Christmas
buns.
Morning?
Yes, we do. Yeah. And so we kind of stretch it out. You know, we take it very slowly, and everybody opens their individual presents. And
see, now that's what you were talking about.
Yes.
This is you growing
yes.
up. You know, you carried some of the traditions
from
when you were,
yes.
you know, from your family too.
And our stockings, my mother is deceased now, but she knitted all of our stockings.
Oh,
and so we all
still
have these.
Use those.
We still use those stockings. Yeah. So that's kind of a warm memory Christmas morning as well.
Okay. Well, I really appreciate you coming on our show, Karen. This has just been wonderful, and getting to know you up close and personal. I hope our listeners enjoyed this as well. I'm sure they did. Again, I'm Glee Renick May, and I've been talking with Indiana's First Lady, Karen Pence. And I certainly enjoyed our show today. And I hope to have you back another time, Karen.
That would be great.
Really nice meeting you.
Nice meeting you as well.
It's really great. I also want to thank our in-studio producer, Don Hauser, and our executive co-producer, Matt Hiblin. And from all of us who bring you Spotlight Indianapolis, we wish you a very Merry Christmas and a very happy 2015.